Anyways, I just lost my notes. I don't know what the heck I did with it. But what I was going to say is capitalism is an economy. Like socialism and communism, it's an economy, a form of a country using its resources to establish a very strong nation. The native peoples of Alaska didn't know a darn thing about capitalism nor anything about the monetary system. That was not a part of the native culture or life. And when December of 71's ANCSA was passed, the native people were thrown into a tailspin almost to accept the position of corporate management. Corporate management was as alien to the natives as ET. You know, the reason why I'm saying this, I'd like to make a suggestion concerning Section 7I and Section 7J of the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. Corporations is a serious economic tool. You can use it to make money. The free enterprise system is based upon making profit, making money. And I'm going to go out and venture out. This is very unpopular, but this is what I've been thinking about for a long time. You cannot, if ANCSA can prove this, fine, I'm wrong. I will say at this time that you cannot commingle traditionalism with the free enterprise system, with capitalism. It's almost nil or almost impossible. I got into a little scrap in December when I was questioning an attorney. I guess his name is Kenneth Bass from D.C. How would you evaluate village corporate or regional corporate stock? Nobody knows about how you can do it that way. How can you, you know, for instance, on the New York Stock Exchange, you can go there and buy stocks, J.C. Penney stocks. J.C., you can buy stocks in anything. But when I ask how can you evaluate the native corporation stocks, about 10 people jump me thinking that I'll be the first one on Doyon's doorsteps 8 o'clock in the morning on December 1891 wanting to sell my stock. And I was even accused of selling my birthright. And I'll tell you that's bull twaddle. Because as I say, you can't mingle traditionalism with capitalism. You'll see that pretty soon. You're going to see that in 1991 and thereafter. For this reason, I'd like to see some form of change that would make ownership of the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act lands owned by the natives infinitely.
Perpetually.
Yes. Correcto. Just about a year ago, I guess I was reading in the U.S. economic report that the U.S. steel firm, it's a very, very huge U.S. corporation, steel producing corporation, went and bought the stocks and every real and fixed assets of another corporation. That there's a possibility that this could happen to the native corporations. And for this reason, I'd like to see, you see, the village corporations own only the surface estate rights. And I don't feel this is fair. It's my personal opinion, and I'll I'll keep it my personal opinion up until I'm proven wrong. Section 7J says that regional corporations have to, after developing their timber and subsurface minerals, they have to, they'll take 30% for their corporate, you know, for their corporate income. And then the 70% will have to be redistributed to the 11 other regional corporations. I don't think that's fair. I mean, although I see the intent of it, it's a choker. It chokes a corporation, a profit-making capitalist form of business, from advancing itself, mushrooming itself into a financially successful business. Why should, for instance, let's say Tanacross had invested into a mountain of gold, and it's a regional corporation, let's say. Why should Tanacross, after making $10 billion, give up 70% of its income, hard-earned income, back to the other regions, regional corporations? I don't see that as sensible. Although I see the intent of it is to perpetuate the native ownership of the lands they've selected. That will not happen. Corporations are subject to changes. All you need is 51% controlling interest, and the native corporations will become public after 1991. And when it does, any man can buy stocks. Although at this time our leaders are trying to find ways to avoid this. How it's done, I hope it's done before 1991, but it's a hard task to accomplish. The other suggestion that I'd like to change is the Section 7I, which says that the ownership of subsurface estate rights by the regional corporation. I don't see any future for village corporations to survive in the capitalist world up until they have some form of income-producing possessions, such as subsurface minerals. I don't see, you know, because of taxation threat, I'd like to see that if it was set up in a way, let's say Tanacross has 94,000 acres of selected Tanacross Inc. selected lands, I'd like to see that 50% of that 94,000 acres land selected, the subsurface rights of it, 50% of it be returned to Tanacross Inc. And then the 50% can remain in the hands of our regional corporation. I see this is the only means of ensuring the perpetuity of a village corporation.
Sorry, I was making a note and I didn't catch all of that. Could you repeat that proposition, please? You said the only way of making sure the land remains perpetually in the hands of the town.
What I was saying is the only way that the village corporation can be ensured its perpetuity is through some form of income-producing possessions, such as subsurface minerals.
Oh, I see. Right.
Because, you know, for instance, Southeast Alaska's regional corporation lost a lot of money, I think last year or 2 years ago, because of the value of timber dropped. The demand for timber dropped drastically. This could happen to any corporation. We can't depend on real estate development and timber sales or tourism. We have to have something more ensuring, and that's through minerals. The other disadvantages caused by the ANCSA is, or rather not ANCSA, but the regulations that pursued ANCSA's passage is the fact that we had to litigate some of the selected lands by the villages. This is an epidemic problem experienced by various village and regional corporations. I think the first part of ANCSA, I think section 2, says that ANCSA will be implemented without litigation. 12 years from now and we're still in litigation. And I think if we were to get on our feet, I think my last suggestion would be to extend that 1991 deadline, extend it an additional time required by each individual village and regional corporations. This will provide leeway for a chance for the villages to get on their feet, to train their people, and to run an effective and, if so, a successful capitalist form of free enterprise system. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Isaac. Thank you for making those points.
My name is Rosemary Maher. I'm from Northway. I'm the president of the Northway Village Council, Village Corporation. I'd like to say, first of all, that I'm not representing any group of people. I'm representing my own personal feelings. So the organizations I work for may not necessarily agree with what I'm going to say. I've been involved in ANCSA since 1971. I wasn't involved prior to that. In my personal opinion, I think that ANCSA, the original intent was to get land and keep land in native ownership around the villages, because there was too many people coming in from the outside and selecting and living on land that native people had hunted and fished on all their lives. So the original intent was to restrict outsiders from coming in the local areas that native people considered their areas of hunting and subsistence lifestyle. Congress took that and made it very difficult by adding the monetary amount and setting up profit-making corporations. When the act was passed, Congress says, we will give you so much land. They didn't give us anything. The money they gave us, our village corporation spent $100,000 in litigation trying to get land that the federal government said they were giving us. Is that giving? These sorts of things, I think, are adverse under the land claims. I think that some good things that came out of it are that the land around the villages are protected now. They belong to the village corporations. The villages need to set up policies governing the use by their shareholders. They could say that if you're a shareholder, you could have unlimited use to any land that the corporation owns. I think that the monetary value is that we're members of a profit-making corporation, just like someone that bought shares in Alaska Airlines. They don't depend on that corporation to make a living for them. They get dividends. This is the way the native corporations were set up. If they make money, they pass out dividends. If I declared $1 a share dividend and each person had 100 shares, they would receive $100. For 200 shareholders, that's $20,000 that you pay out in dividends. If you only make $80,000 in profit, you'll have approximately $60,000 to carry on your business for the next year. You would have to make a very, very large profit in order for the shareholders to benefit. So the attitude that I have taken as president of the Village Corporation in Northway is that I'm going to benefit the people by providing them with services that will improve their life. We have to drive to Toke to do laundry. We spend money on gas. People don't have cars and they suffer because of this. We build a laundromat. The people can do their laundry in the local area. They can take showers. They can use the facilities. They don't have to drive 100 miles a week to do laundry. These are the types of services we are trying to provide with our Village Corporation money. We are not providing profits or dividends. We're providing an improvement in the lifestyle. We have teachers all quit 7 years ago because there was no housing when they were turned over to the regional school boards. The regional school board just totally cut housing out. So our teaching staff was hippies and people off the highway. They didn't care where they lived. They lived in little shacks in Northway. We thought more of our education for our students, so we provided housing for teachers. There is income there, and we're getting good teachers because we provide good houses. And we have control over those teachers by demanding that they teach land claims in the schools. And we've started land claims courses 3 years ago. The corporation funds projects where the students travel to different meetings in the, like the Doyon annual meeting and the Tanna Chiefs Convention. These are types of things that I feel that the corporations can get into. They can improve the lifestyle of the native people. And I know there are a lot of things that can be gotten into. When we first started the corporation, we invested in a business in Fairbanks. We put $25,000 in the business. We had a feasibility study done. A year later, the business went broke. The feasibility study showed that we would get a 40% return on our money the first year. And the study was done by people that were well known. There's a lot of sharks out there. They know.
40%?
They know that villages have money. They're going to come to you with all kinds of good deals on how to get rich fast. We lost $25,000. That was in the very beginning years in 1973. And we learned from that experience. I think that the land claims was... It's not coming out as it intended to be, but there are some good things, such as what I just mentioned. The other thing I want to talk about is 1991. There's been a lot of studies going on about whether we can have people give up their rights to sell their stock. I think the best way to handle the situation is education. Educate the shareholders on the fact that if they sell their shares, that they will no longer have an interest in the land that the village corporations own and the regional corporations own. I think they need to be educated on where the land is. When you get into exploration, Jerry's idea of splitting the 50% of the land back to the villages. It takes a lot of money for a corporation to develop subsurface. Up here in the 40-mile country, the asbestos project that's going on, they figure to spend anywhere from $80 to $100 million just to develop that. And I think maybe village corporations wouldn't have that kind of money to go into exploring the subsurface. I agree that it shouldn't be the way it is now, but I don't have a suggestion as to how to change it. And this exploration in 7i, the whole works is affecting 1991. The dividends that the village corporation, the share that village corporations received from other regions is much higher than what they've received from what Doyon has done. So we are benefiting from the 70% that the other regions have to give to the regions that the other regions other than themselves. Village corporations are benefiting by receiving approximately, this year we've received about $25,000 from exploration, 7i resources in other regions. So we are benefiting from it, even if we don't see it as individuals. The native allotment issue, I keep hearing people talk about it, and it is a problem that I don't know how it can be solved. There's a lot of people that missed the deadline of 1971. They didn't understand it at the time. There was people away in the military, and when they came back, they were told they couldn't select, but in fact, they could select up until 1973. They were not informed. There was people that didn't understand the native allotment system. I applied for a native allotment. There was a mistake in my paperwork, and they gave me too much land. So I had to give up 160 acres. They didn't tell me that I could give up that 160 acres from each. I selected four areas from each area. They told me I had to give up 160 acres in one big block. So my native allotment was not what I intended it to be because I was misinformed. And I'm sure that there was a lot of people misinformed. Applications were taken that were never filed. The 1971 deadline was because of the passage of ANCSA. Once ANCSA passed, then the Native Allotments Act was no longer in existence. As far as reopening it, I don't know. The only way I see that it could be reopened if the village corporation was willing to give up some of their lands to the people that had applied on lands that they had selected. That could be a possibility, but I don't know how you would get the federal and state government to reopen it. All in all, I think that the land claims has done good, at least for my village, but it's in the attitude that's taken. If you're depending on your village corporation to pay you huge dividends so that you can live all year, then it's not benefiting you. And I don't think that was the purpose of ANCSA anyway. The purpose of ANCSA was to keep the land intact for Native people for present and the future. And I agree that maybe some of the things that are happening presently aren't beneficial to us, to the old people, but they may be beneficial to the future of our children who will get involved through inheritance. So I think that the good outweighs the bad as far as village corporations are concerned.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
My name is Helen David, and I'm from Tetlin. I'd like to say something about the stockholders and the native allotment. I think after we receive our title for our land, I don't see why Do Young or Tenant Chief should worry about it's ours. We claim the land, and it's our land. And I believe it's our own. And they don't have to tell us to do what to do with our land. As our land is based on our culture. Our culture is based on our land. And if we want to keep our land for our subsistence, I believe that's the reason we signed for those allotments. But I don't know about other people. They probably want to sell their lands. The things I was going to talk about, Mr. Paul pointed out most about the children. I always wondered about that. When we went to the first meeting in Anchorage in 1971, we had no idea about the land claim settlement. We didn't know anything about it. We were just hanging there in the air, and people just made the decisions. We didn't know anything about it. We just had to go along and agree with them because we didn't know what it mean. And up to this day, I don't think we know much about these land claim settlement and what's going to become of it. In a way, they help us in a lot of ways, like the Tenant Chief. They come over to Tetlin and tell us a lot of things about what we should know. You know, the 71, when they said that the children after 71 could not be a stockholder, they didn't even come around and ask us if it was okay to do that. I think the land claim settlement was for the native. We should put our opinions in it. They should ask us these things. I, for one, I didn't know anything about these things. I didn't know the children after 71 would not be a stockholder. Otherwise, I would disagree. What if all the people after up to 71 had died? What would become of our stockholders? I think that something should be done about that. If I knew anything more about that at that time, I would say 71 on up should be a stockholder. So, or they were thinking that it would be too many people being the stockholder. I don't know what these were all about, but I think our children should have share in there after we're gone. Our subsistence right. We have to fight for it all the time. We as Native people should have rights to our subsistence way of living. But we're told by the outsider we should live by the law. And most of us do. Another thing we should think of the value and the resource of our land. I'm a stockholder from Fairbanks area, and I also have land of 160 acres. I don't think I want to sell that. That's part of me, that's my culture. I don't know how the other people would think about it. But as a Native person, I believe the land is our culture. We live by those things, it's our subsistence. Way of living. And when we get that land, I think it's ours, and we should live like the way they want us to, our culture, we live up to our culture. But we don't know anything about those things. We don't have no title to it, we don't have no pact to it. All is just hanging in the air. I know we signed up in '64 for our land. but we haven't heard anything about it. I don't know how many trips my husband and I went in to make, try to find out about these land allotments. Another thing I think about is those people, like our children, if they die, they're stockholders. I don't see why their stockholders should go back into Doyang or into Tanana Chief. I believe it should go back into their family. There's another thing we should think about. Lately, a lot of young people have been dying, and their stockholders have to go back into the village or some place to wherever they got their stockholder from. We as Native people, we should have understanding about our land and what's going on and who's our leader. We trust our land into their hand, and we expect a fair trade back to us. We expect them to take care of our land and tell us what's going on. Like us, we're not very... in proper way. I didn't know we belonged to that kind of corporation if they want to just pull land under us. I believe when we selected these land, it is for our use. I didn't think they would come around and want to take back our land from us. I believe our leaders should think more of their village or whoever's the director of our village in our area should bring these things to us. I'm sure there's a lot of people that don't understand these things. And nowadays you can't get people to go out to get educated, but go to school for these things. Another thing I'd like to know about the tax, how are we going to pay our tax? What if we have to cut a chunk off our land all the time paying for our tax? We were talking about probably we should join the IRA, that they would be a better people to handle our problem. That's my opinion. We have trusted our land and our land claim checks and everything into the hand of the people of Doyang and Tanana Chief, but we never get results of things, what's going on and how our money is being spent. These things in an individual should know. Or they should come to our village and explain those things to us. Most likely our leaders probably is not showing those papers to us if they are sending it to us. We should have a document of a proper things for our people, for our elder, to protect them. Somebody might come up to them and say, sign this paper, and they go ahead and sign it because they don't know nothing about it. These things trouble me. I think about those things. I think about those old people. There are a lot of them around. They outnumber us in a way. And people would come around, have them sign paper, they go ahead and sign it. If we have some honest people and honest leaders, they would go around and explain these things to them. I like to see that as we as the Native people would stick together and think about these things. Everybody's talking about 91. What's about 91? If they're so worried about people selling their land, why don't they set up a trust fund or something where we can where people can put their land into. I was thinking about that. Maybe there's a place we can just have the Native people sell their land to. And I'd like to say, in closing, I appreciate what everybody's doing and how they're trying to do these things, but I don't know. I live among white people since I was a little girl. And I was adopted into the Tetlin village, where I didn't speak their language, where I didn't understand them. They didn't understand me. And I took it up on myself to learn their culture. And I believe it's very valuable. And ever since then, I got the people of the village of Tetlin to go back into the old ways of doing their culture, saving their old arts and craft that they're making. At that time, they thought I was crazy. But today, now you see, a slipper is sold for $50, $70. In that day, when I came to Tetlin, you only bought a slipper for $5. These valuable things are going to be dying away. The younger generation should think about these things, should put up a place where we can teach our people about all this culture. We're natives. We don't have to change because the world is changing around us. We'll always be native. And I'm proud of it. And I think we should try to learn more about our land and what we should do about it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Thank you.
Are there any other testifiers?
My name is Ray Dennis. I'm from I'm a Klingit from Haines. This question always bothered me all the time. To see people around here, all these native people around here, who actually owns this land? To me, and my fathers and my grandfathers always said, this land is yours. This land belongs to you. It never belonged to the Russian. It never belonged to the United States. It belongs to you. You came here. You live here. It's ours. Now all of a sudden, the Russians sell it to the United States for $7 million. And the United States had no right to buy it because it wasn't theirs. It was ours. Every Indian in this country was ours. It did not belong to the United States. It did not belong to the Russians. It belonged to us. Everything we do in this country, everything we try in this country, belongs to us. Everything we love in this country, everything we do in this country, belongs to us. We love everything that goes in this country. We try everything that belongs to a human standard possibility to be, just be a human being. That belongs to us in this country. This country has no right to be solicited at all, because it doesn't have to be. It's ours to begin with. This hall, this place, all the Indians in here was placed here because of a situation belonging to different people that say, this belongs to us. This belongs, wait a minute, this belongs to me. I'll let you do this if you can you behave yourself like this. And to me, it's not right. To me, it belongs to everybody that's looking here. Everybody, every Indian that's here. This country belongs to us. There's no reason to even argue about who belongs to this country? Who owns this place? Who runs this place? Who's going to own it? The funny thing about it is that every time that everybody that owns this country always says, "This is yours. Have a good time with it. Have it. Enjoy yourself. This is yours." All the time. Never try to take it away from nobody. Never try to hurt nobody. This is yours. Enjoy. All the time we know in all regulation that this is ours. Every man and boy that walk through this town here, every man, every woman, every girl, every boy, that's theirs. It's nobody else, it's theirs. United States government can't take it away. The state can't take it away. It's ours. God gave it to us. It's been with us for 500 years. And we want to give it to everybody that's here, regardless of denomination. We love all people. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jens. Thank you.
Mr. Bridger and the rest of the people here, I have to bear with my voice. I'm just getting over a little siege with laryngitis and a few other things. I first came into the country in 26 years ago in 1958.
Have your name for the record? Sorry.
I'm sorry. Alan Patterson. I was a minister here. We began here in 1958, and we stayed here until 62. And just recently, we've come back to work with the village here. And I want to say this, that I can appreciate many of the problems that these people have gone through and their concerns. I'm here today really as a spectator listening and gleaning information, because most of this took place in our absence. And there's a lot of things that we have to be filled up on. The history, the background. But nevertheless, I want to support the people in their desires. I realize that some of the things that they would like to see accomplished to protect their future are big goals, and maybe we don't know how they're going to be resolved right now. But I know that they can be resolved. I can appreciate how the people would like to see these shares remain in their hand and in their control. I don't know how it's going to be accomplished. I do know that in the Bible, as a minister, I know that the Bible had a method of dealing with this so that the people would have their land always. And that was that every 50 years, the land could be sold, yes, but after 50 years, it would have to revert back to the original owners or the original family. Now, I don't know if that is any solution, and I don't suggest it as a solution, but I'm here to say that I'm willing to work to find solutions and to assist them and to help them and to see that it's implemented in all fairness and that they come out and they're satisfied with what they have. And that is about all I have to say, but mainly my speech was a little short because of my ignorance on the subject. But nevertheless, I want to support them in their efforts and let them know that I'm behind them in what they're doing.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Well, anyone else wish to speak this afternoon? We're going to come back tonight, but we have a little time, I think, still this afternoon.
I'm Madeline Juna B. Potts from Eagle, and we had higher expectation of than we've received. My own personal feeling is the good and the bad part of the Native claims. Number one was people did not quite understand what it was all about. With the younger and the older people that I've talked to in the village recently, they didn't know anything about what it was all about when they signed papers. And I was one of them who signed papers that they thought they were getting some money and some land without any problem. And some of the people, their applications for the Native allotments were lost. And some never got title. And number two, the older people that I've talked to, they figured they should be enjoying what they had coming. And in the village of Eagle, we have only two senior citizens left, all passed on before they got anything out of the Native land claims. Number three is the free giveaways to the natives, since the Native land claims. In my village, I noticed that they don't want to do anything anymore. They don't want to go hunting, fishing. Instead, they turn to alcohol because they get free things. Number four, I feel that 1991 was too short. I feel that it should be extended. And in the meantime, the younger people should be educated on the Native land claim so they won't make the same mistakes as I made, my children, for instance. And Eagle Village is only 3 miles from the city of Eagle. And I feel that there are a lot of non-natives ready to grab whatever they can get their hands on. And by the natives selling or pawning their lands to the non-natives in Eagle. And then number five is the native allotments. I feel that a lot of people were misinformed about the 160 acres. There were people who did not get their allotment. And there were some of us who were lucky that got something out of it. Like I didn't know anything what was going on until I moved back to Eagle about 8 years ago. And my father had, he was one of the first ones to apply, and he never got to really enjoy the allotment or build a home. And now 3 years later, after he passed on, we never see a title yet. And just recently, I had a letter from TCC and Doyon saying that there is going to be a court settlement, and it is up to the judge to tell us who gets what out of my dad's 160 acres. And the people who were getting paid to take care of his well, and he made out his will a year before he died, they should have copies of it. And three years later, there was nothing said about his will until about two nights ago I found his will. And I don't think that it is up to the judge to tell us who gets what and then on our land. And like I say, I moved back to Eagle about 8 years ago, and I was out in the States, and I didn't know very much about the native land claims, and I'm still learning. And I recently joined the village council. And to this day, I don't really know very much about it. And I'm trying my best to learn more about the IRA. And I was misled about the IRA in our council, that it sounded good to me at first, and now I have some doubts about it. I think that TCC should come back to Eagle and go over and explain to the people what IRA is all about. And like I said, there's non-natives living 3 miles from the bill, and they were very upset about Eagle Village becoming IRA. So I guess there is a 30-day freeze on the IRA in the village, so I think in May 8th, the lawyer and Spud William and them are coming to Eagle to tell us more about it. And I would like to see the younger kids get an education more on the native land claims. A lot of the older people in the village that I talked to and the younger people like I, they signed papers, they didn't know what they were signing. It was never explained to us that what was going to become of it, or the future, or anything. So I think that it's going to be the younger kids that's going to be running the village corporation another 10, 20 years, and I believe they should be educated on that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Ms. Potts.
Carl Charles from Dot Lake Native Corporation. What I want to talk about is land claim. You know, when the land claim, when we was working on the land claim, that we thought that we would benefit from what we were doing. But seem like now, far as we went on this land claim, that a lot of our people is just as bad off right now than before the land claim, that we're benefiting, you know, from it, because you have non-profit corporation, that's your village IRA, and then you have a village corporation and regional corporation. And right to today, seem like even the IRA, you know, seem like their hands tied. You know, it seemed like they couldn't do anything, because you have this corporation that, you know, your profit corporation that ain't settled through federal government after probably about 10 years, over 10 years. And what I was getting at is that we have a regional corporation that we belong to. It's in pretty bad financial shape right now. I guess everybody in the country knows it. And seemed like that could have been avoided of what happened to our corporation. Because why I'm saying this is that we had people on the board, and people running the corporation don't have corporate background. And they're just like me. It's something new to them, but they're trying to work that machine, but it ain't working. And I know there's a mistake there. I don't know how we can recover from it. Recover from that mistake that, you know, that our original corporation made financially. And seem like, you know, we have traditional things that we do before land claim, like hunting and, you know, our subsistence and hunting subsistence and stuff like that. But seemed like during that land claim, seems to me that we sold our rights right along with it. Because we're nowadays, we can't go out and do anything. We can't go out and hunt or fish unless we have the proper license and to go by, or go by regulations. And like now, you know, we don't, the corporation has a lot of land, but right to today, that I don't think individual stockholders is profiting by our own corporation and regional corporation. That, you know, you would think by now that they would be benefiting from the corporations with modern money that was given to us. And another thing that the original corporation have is subsurface rights that they have with local corporation, like village corporation. It seems to me that was only resource they have right now in our area is subsurface. So I think this, you know, the subsurface right should belong to village corporation, state original corporation. Why I brought up these corporations, you know, the operation of corporation is that I know there's other land claims going in, and I hope that they don't make mistake by what we're doing now, that maybe they can learn some and trying to help themselves, you know, go different routes. Like our elderly people now, We have, you know, every people over in their 70s that'll never be here in 1991. And they ain't benefiting from it. And I think, you know, older people like that should be getting some kind of benefit from that stock they have through original corporation. Because, like I say, a lot of them old people never see 1991. But we can't even do that now, according to the financial problem we're in. So I don't see myself, I don't see where that we benefit from this land claim. We benefit to a certain extent by owning a big mass of land. But that's it. We know we own that big mass of land. But what bothers me is that after we became a state, that someday we'll have unorganized barrel tax. And if we don't have income coming in through our corporations or even original corporations, and once states start taxing the corporation land, I mean, how are we going to pay for it? We just have to tell state, well, there is a certain amount of land here that we have to give to you ordinary to save our corporation land. And if it's taxed every year before it's over with, seems to me that state will have all the land back anyway. And that we won't have, you know. It might never happen, but that's the way I look at it now, because our village corporation ain't making any money either, because their hand is tied. And what I can understand is that under this land claim, I was in Anchorage when the land claim was settled, when the bill was signed by the president. And I thought at that time that it was over, you know, that there were no more fights, that the land claim was over. But seem like now, every time we turn around, there's amendment on this, amendment on that, and we're still fighting with state and federal. And corporations, you know, spend a lot of money on legal fees and stuff like that. See where they're at all the time.